Good evening. Welcome to Lesbian Nation. Before we do our regular program tonight, I want to make an announcement for all lesbians living below Houston Street on the old Lower East Side. Those of us who do live here are trying to get in touch with the rest of you in the hopes that we can form a Dykes Association of the old Lower East Side and maybe do a little collective shopping and have some sort of a protective association and protect each other from the big baddies. So if you're interested in getting together and getting to know each other and forming some kind of Dykes community, please send a postcard or a letter to Martha Shelley, care of WBAI, 359 East 62nd Street, and give me your address and phone number. Let me know how I can get in touch with you. Okay, tonight I have a friend here, Susan Cavan, who is going to read some of her poetry to us. You said you have been writing poetry for about 6 years?
Yeah. I started off writing songs and got into poetry because my songs sounded like poems more than songs.
Yeah, you sent me a bunch of your poetry and I found it rather disturbing in some ways, but I liked it. So, bearing that in mind, how about reading me your Christmas poem?
Okay, I wrote this before Christmas, so. Christmas come tomorrow. I can't wait. I want to live like Rudolph. Santa, take me away. But what if Santa like Daddy, just another man? Daddy take me away, all right, to the basement and the darker alleyways of our house, every house, and talks about my pussy in a fatherly way, of course, except sometimes when he gets me mixed up with Mama and calls me her name and, well, you know, he was drunk and he didn't know what he was doing. That's what Mama says. Oh, what if Santa really liked Daddy, the man I've been dreaming about every Christmas, the man who could take me away from all of this, home. Somehow this all too familiar, like other dreams, some tape recorder been playing softly in my ear while I was sleeping all my life. Oh, but it's Christmas, and I shouldn't be thinking like this. I'm too sensitive, you know. That's what Mama says. Anyway, Christmas come tomorrow, and I can't wait. Mama got her shoes off. She feels right at home. Brother got his train set, 29 years overgrown. Mama waiting on him hand and foot. Why don't you have some fruitcake, Johnny? A growing boy needs to eat. How come Mama don't do that for me? I need to grow, too. Besides, I like fruitcake. Guess I don't have any balls for her to bust. And Mama like them balls. Daddy says I'm his little girl, though. Oh, yeah, Daddy. Daddy's got his liquor hiding everything he knows, and I'm in the closet paralyzed, blowing my nose, singing, Doodah, Daddy, don't you corner me tonight. Doodah, Daddy wants a virgin, he likes it tight. Mama's in the kitchen cooking Christmas, saying he's a sight, the way he wants Virgin Mary every Christmas night, winking at me and saying to him, oh, J.C., not tonight, every night. So he comes on me, forgetting I ain't no virgin, because he bang, bang, banged me late one night, every year. Every evening, Mama makes the point that she don't know what's going on between Daddy and me. She can't see everything with her back turned, you know. And with all my screaming, how could anyone hear a word like help? But she told me with her silence that she understood how awful it was to sleep with that drunk. It don't feel good, and she's sorry. But she just can't do it some nights. And she loves me, and she comforts me with, life has been good to me, and it'll be nice for you, too, someday, if you trust in the Lord God with all your, oh, Mama, another man. I wonder if he drinks, too, every Christmas. Every Christmas, it gets heavy around the house, everybody thinking, you know. Another year loss, another one to get through, together. Oh, and every year, he cries about the war. Not this one, the one before that. Christmas in Germany, 1945, du and how he almost lost his life 30 years ago. Them graphic German details gonna wash my brain if Mama don't do it first, screaming she wants her life back from me. The youth I look, she says I took from her. She don't drink, she's a Christian woman. I don't understand these people. They're my family, and I just love them to death. You know, I guess maybe people never understand family love. You know, the love between them and their parents, and the holy love between a man like my father and a lady like my mother. People never understand it, no matter how old they are. But you know they love you in the same way you know that God loves you. You don't. You do know. If you're a man child, Daddy loves you the same way God, the big He in caps, loved his only son. He sent him to die on the cross, to wear thorns in his head, because he thought too much. It's Christmas. It's okay to talk about Jesus, isn't it? Yeah, the big He had a purpose in life for his son, all right, death. A suffering death that he had to thank God for, because his father couldn't live except through him and his son. It hurt God a lot to turn his back at the crucial moment that his son begged him not to do him in. Enough about men. And if you're a woman child, you know Daddy loves you the same way God loved Mary. He wants to bang you up secretly, like it never really happened. Nobody talks much about Mary, who got some goddamn male seed crammed up her ass. Not even the writers of Jesus Christ Superstar talk about that. And how nobody would believe her, that it wasn't a fuck. Of course it wasn't a fuck, it was a rape. But the Bible didn't tell me so. Nobody would believe her except her understanding husband. My mother, when we're out in public, describes my father as her understanding husband and pats him on the head when she says it and calls him honey. She calls me honey, too. After she watches Daddy put his hands on my tits when he French kisses me goodnight every night. It's times like that I remember best, when she calls him honey. It's real nice seeing them like that, loving each other, like they love me. And it's Christmas, a family time. We can't talk too good, but we love each other. Every Christmas we pretend a whole year of filth and hate never happened. I guess all families are like that. And it's at special times like Christmas that everybody knows the things they never say to each other, but would like to all year round. I guess the thing I'd like to say to my family this Christmas that I never get the chance to say is, Daddy, I hate you and the plastic cock you keep locked in the trunk of our second car. And Mama, why did you try to kill me instead of him?
Nice Christmas carol for our friends.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love.
Anyway, if you haven't figured out why these poems disturbed me when I read them, I suggest you turn off this particular station and come back some other time. Wow. Let's have another one. Let's have another drink, too. Okay.
I gave her yellow sighs. She gave me her dark circled eyes, her deeper cries, and a box of laughter reserved for me for the lonelier years to come, when we thought we'd be married off to put our parents' minds at ease. Instead, they put her in a Texas snake pit of a mental hospital and got the doctor who was giving her shock treatment to call me up and say I wasn't making her crazy, but my visits were, how would you put it, upsetting her. Split, you lesbian. So I came to New York, terrified, and tiptoed out of the closet. She became a lifer on Ward D. Nothing was as it should have been. The movement came too late to save some of us. I can't get the picture of Anna reading Rat from her white metal bed out of my mind.
Was this a woman you really knew?
Yeah, it was a woman that I really loved that was put in a hospital in Texas. It's true. The whole thing's true. And she fluctuates between being in her mother's house, which is also Ward D, and the mental hospital itself.
Which is Ward F.
Ward F.
I suppose that maybe I should introduce you to some of the people around town who don't know you. What kind of work do you do in New York?
I drive a cab for Terminal Systems.
That's a nice name.
Terminal, the end. I've been doing that since June, and I was in graduate school. I'm in between graduate school. I can't stand graduate school.
What field?
Sociology.
Do you really want to be a sociologist?
I used to. I don't anymore. And so I'm driving a cab until I figure out what I want to do.
How long you been in New York altogether?
Not a year. I'm from the South.
What state?
Georgia.
Born and raised?
Yeah.
If you will forgive me for asking, was it really like that back home in the family?
Yeah, it was precisely like that. My father is a real son of a bitch. And my mother is too. But I don't think that's any different from most people's families. You know, it has a southern twinge to it, you know, maybe in the poetry and maybe in the style it comes out, but it's the same fuckovers.
Even if it's not quite as literal. I mean, I got a pass made at me by my grandfather, mm-hmm. who proceeded to read me the Song of Solomon and try to explain it in Hebrew.
I don't know if it's that literal. I mean, I don't know if all fathers try to fill up their daughters. I don't think most mothers try to fill up their sons, but the same thing's going on, and people kind of notice that more than they have the daughter-father thing.
You got anything a little bit
softer?
A little less tragic.
I got something nice that happened to me. This is about my lover, Pat. I was writing a paper, and I was thinking about her when I first met her. In between sentences, the thought of opening your legs occurs, and I lean forward at my desk, lunging inside to find the warmth of a warm sun sweat streaming down her legs. I return to my sentences. She returns to me in a song I almost wrote, but kept in mind instead to keep me company. It's not enough for you to live just in my mind tonight when I want to live between your legs. Couldn't we just pretend it was summer tonight?
Mm. Yeah.
You like that better.
Yeah, that's even good for this time of year.
Yeah.
Did your folks have much money?
Yeah, they did in a strange way. My father works at a cotton mill, and he worked his way up to be almost head of it, so we had pretty good money.
I guess the picture one gets up north, in a northern education, is that, the incestuous sort of stuff goes on only in certain families, mainly, southern rural, but very rural and very poor. Like, there's a joke, what's a Kentucky virgin? A girl who can run faster than her brother. But people...
You're dirty.
Well, it's like what you said, the thing between fathers and daughters. People have this sort of conspiracy of silence, like they have about rape, because somehow you're the guilty one if somebody attacks you.
Right.
And nobody wants to say bad about their families.
Right.
That's called washing your dirty linen in public. Let's have another poem.
This is written to all the men I've encountered in my life, starting with my father. Ain't it just a kick in the pants, Master John, when your life is on its knees in the table-turning districts of a life sentence? Just a wink of the eye, serve you coffee, sir? Oh, I'm sorry, serves you right to be burned in your pants. The hourglass is long overdue to be turned upside down, ooh la la. I won't open up my shirt at the drop of your coin. You know I can't hear you talking through your pants no more. I've been mistaken so many times for your pinball machine that my identity is seriously the answer at question, if you know what I mean. No, I don't want to hear what you got on your chessboard off your chest. It's my life you've been playing out the tricks of your trade on. Get off my back. I ain't a player in your game. I've been framed in one too many credit card games, closets full of suicide and wives. Didn't you know you can't con children all your life, daddy-o? The thrill of your mama's cheese mojo don't turn the trick no more. Guess I've been thrilled all my life. I can't take no more shock treatment. If I ever need a pain in the ass, you'd be the first I'd call for a shot of male skag, cultural lag, baseball sag. You're a drag in high form, man. I got a hat full of years, a hat full of hate. I'd just as soon displace on you as look you in the eye for a dime. You'll do just as good as any man, man. Your truck's done run through my house and left me on the floor one too many times. I ain't in the trucking business no more. Knock you out, sir? I'm glad it's you and not me this time, brother. And I won't cry one more word for you. Can't you tell I used to? Bleed every month for you and apologize for the smell. Transfusions can't make up for everything you stole. Mink's just a household word, you know. Oh, by the way, I sold my house yesterday. No, I won't cry one more word for you. You can't even buy one of my lonely midnight thoughts. I can't get that desperate that I'd go fishing in sewers for love. You're just a grave digger, man. Didn't you know you can't make a believer out of an ex-slave? Ain't it just a kick in the pants, Master John?
Oh, I gotta say that any noises you hear in the background, aside from the rustling of papers, are the beautiful background music in my south of Houston apartment and our various neighbors calling through the alleyways for each other. We got another one coming up?
Yeah, I've got three for straight women that I used to know. This is a short one. She come, she go, I'm always around. She never noticed me, I love her some. Not in the way she writes love into her daydream scripts, though. I guess that's why she don't see me. And another one is, sometime when the fires don't burn so close to your dress, we'll see each other in the distance, in us. I'll hand you a piece of paper, smiling, with a name and address. You'll walk away as if I didn't matter. But now and then you'll feel it clearly enough to need to pretend that the fires never burned, the name was just paper, and we were only friends. And then I've got one for called Sideways. I did give it a name. With all the feeling I had in me, my actions screamed love at her. She looked at me sideways, her way of telling me I didn't have a penis, as if I didn't know.
Seems to me I've had some experiences with straight women along those lines.
I thought most lesbians could relate to that.
Yeah.
I got one that is about men. God is on a power trip. That's because God's a male. He's also schizophrenic. He needs a heaven and a hell to turn him on. Get hard, God. So much for God's sensuality. But Jesus, Jesus, don't come again all over me. I can't bear your Christian semen, Trojan rubber morality.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong.
Seems to me that you stopped being a Christian a while back.
No.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
I've run out of light poetry.
All right, so read some heavy stuff. Were you raised a Christian?
What?
You were raised a Christian?
Yeah, I was Southern Methodist. Daddy got the need to beat me. Daddy got it bad tonight. Daddy got the shakes to beat me. Gotta get away from Daddy. The sight of me sends him up the wall. He running after me, his pants fall. Some nights he got a dollar, other nights a whip. Tonight he got the shakes, so he got to hit and get me shaking so he can forget about his hand shaking. Daddy a mean man, Daddy all man, Daddy the man who can't forget he was born to kill me. Daddy got the need to beat me. Daddy got it bad tonight. Daddy got the shakes to beat me. Gotta get away from Daddy.
You know, the way you write, it's obvious you started writing songs because you've got a good,
a
strong feeling for it.
Right. This is really a song.
Something they wouldn't put on the air.
It's a song. But, so I changed it. I mean, just left it without the music.
I don't know. I think it would be really interesting to hear it with the music sometime.
I've got a few that are put to music, you know. But there's not anything out in record land like that.
Yeah, you might run into a little censorship problem there.
Yeah. Here's another one. There's a light on in the window with the bars you cannot see, and a woman's shadow's locked inside, only she's got the key. You cannot see, that there's a pillow in the darkness she leans against, a wall, thinking of cigarette burns. It's about a woman I knew, the one in the hospital.
Yeah, I was thinking it reminded me of somebody I knew who was put away in Bronx State.
Yeah. They don't let you light your own cigarettes in a hospital. You know, they've got these things in the wall, these lighters, and you go up and you get on your tiptoes and shit. And
New York State hospitals are not that modern.
Oh, they don't have that.
No, you have to go ask an attendant for a light.
Hospital. You do. Oh.
And then, of course, it's up to the attendant whether they give you a light or not.
Oh. This is a nice one, in a way. This is also about my lover. She moves intensely through the maze of closets the he-she world leaves open, half hoping someone like her will come, end. Stepping over sentences man-made, she kicks a world aside, a word aside, and finds a meaning someone left under a sentence to die. Conversations run aimlessly by. She walks slowly by the borderline human cases, separating the schizoid threads that tie us all together, taking only what she needs to read faces. She balances herself with her bangs. She is the only midwife of the mind I know in this life, and I have no doubt in my mind that someday they will hang her precisely for that reason.
Well, gee, I hope not.
Me too. I need her. And the last one. This is going to be a relief. It's got a title called Someone Imagined a Fuck Took Place Here. This is for a straight woman who tried to sleep with me once, and we didn't really sleep together. It was my first woman, but she carried the guilt around with her as if she had slept with me because she touched me, all right? I need silence to listen to the movements playing underneath my earth. Mother, help me. Time is upon me, as I was upon her. Guilt, you are an ugly, worming thing. You remind me of another worm, subverting the innocent's joys. I saw you in her eyes, and oh, it was a sad moment for me to feel you inside her, where I had wanted to be. I never had a chance to give her back to herself, to free her from the demon worm. She does not know crawls within her. Just like the penis, she cannot feel fucking her. She says she likes it. Penile and men, just like she likes guilt, I guess. She said she would marry me if I were a man, but that she doesn't know what two women could do in bed. And she needs sex, you know. I don't know what to do with her. Another straight woman busted me again. When will I learn to tell my mother to fuck off when she comes on to me and mean it this time?
Oh, God. See what I mean? I mean, that's the, it's lines like that that kind of get under your skin and say things to us that we don't want to talk about. Like the conspiracy of silence about fathers, there's a conspiracy of silence about mothers too. And sometimes a conspiracy of silence to protect us from our own feelings.
And the conspiracy of silence about mothers, I think, is wrapped up with a lot of lesbians with straight women. Like, I'm constantly running into a straight woman that I'll get turned on to, and I know I can't have her, just like I could never have my mother, but I'll act out the whole thing, and I'll get mad at her, you know, the whole thing. I'm sure this happens with everybody.
I have a feeling it happens with some of the women I know who consider themselves straight, by the way, and who are, as a matter of fact, I could name three off the bat who I don't dare name. Because they are all quite famous in the movement.
Right.
And who are really, like, terrified of getting involved with a woman because they're convinced that a gay woman will treat them the same as their mothers.
And they're straight. I mean,
they,
it's the reverse thing that I'm going through. It's the same thing.
I don't know. I think it's the same thing. But I think the difference is, like, they're afraid to try to get involved with a woman. I couldn't say that they were really straight, because all of them have had some experience with women. but have had most of their experience with men.
And they're afraid to get involved with a gay woman because they think...
They're going to be betrayed. Maybe all women have been betrayed in some way by their mothers.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be, let it be, let it be.
That was Lesbian Nation. And we're going to be back next week, same time, same station, with more words from the sisters out there. Tonight, before I go, I'd like to bring your attention to a news release that I just received today from a group called Astoria Unlimited. And I'll just read it to you. Astoria Unlimited, a nonprofit community facility, will open up on January 6th, 1973, at 44-03 28th Avenue in Astoria. That's 44-03 28th Avenue. The center will house the Astoria Women's Center, which will offer health information, abortion, birth control, venereal disease, counseling and referrals, legal information, CR groups, and a women's library, and so on and so forth. The Astoria Housing Council will maintain its office there, which will help form tenant associations and work with already existing groups. There will be a food co-op, and that will offer dairy, grains, fruits, and vegetables at wholesale prices. Now, on January 6th, there's going to be a special celebration for women only, featuring theater performances, films, a thrift sale, and an arts and crafts exhibit. This is Martha Shelley. Good night.